today was a bit mixed. Saw Brother Mike and Stephanie went down after lunch and spent just a little bit of time down there in the hospital room. And Brother Mike woke up today, and that was just a great praise. She said the doctors were beginning to talk about maybe ordering some tests to see if there was some brain damage. And sure enough, about that time, Brother Mike just started waking up. So he was able to follow commands, blinking his eyes, and so they think he's still with us. Amen? That's right. And then after we got home, I'd received a message that David Williams, this is Holly Williams' son, was trying to contact me. And I called David back today, Holly's son, and Holly passed away on Thursday. Holly Williams. Holly that comes here. Yeah, Holly Williams. So David said he went to go check on his dad. Said, you know, the family was kind of estranged. Holly and his wife were kind of estranged. They were not divorced, but they were not at all together. And so David, I can't remember how many children there are. David was the one that basically checked on his dad and took care of his dad. And he went by Thursday about 10 o'clock at night, and he said he found Holly next to his bed. He had his bed clothes on, so he passed away right there at his house. Natural causes. They don't know with all of the family. Just the relationships that aren't right. They don't know if any kind of memorial there will be. I told David, please keep me in the loop. We would like to be there for a visitation or a service if that's going to happen. And he said he would do that. So he thanked the church for welcoming his father and for helping his father. And he said we were a blessing to his dad. Amen? All right. Well, let's take our Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We're going to look at three verses tonight, 20, 21, and 22. And then we'll get into a prayer time this evening. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, these three verses beginning in verse 20. I really like this little section here, 20 through 28. And we kick off this next paragraph here with these first three verses this evening. Let's all stand in honor of the reading of the inerrant Word of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 20, 21, and 22. 1 Corinthians 15, beginning at verse 20. All right, the Word of God reads this: "But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the firstfruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive." Amen? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you this evening. We thank you, Lord, for these verses that we're going to look at tonight. We thank you for your word that we're going to be studying. God, I pray that as we think about what's coming for us, a resurrection body, an eternity with you, Lord, I pray that would help us get through the difficult times here that we find ourselves sometimes in. Lord, help us continually look to you, pray to you, seek you in all that we do. May you give us the encouragement, the strength, and Lord, just the determination to go forward and keep on keeping on. We praise you tonight. Thank you for saving us, Lord. Be with those that certainly might need to make a decision for you here this evening. We love you tonight. Thank you for all that you do for us. It's in your name we pray. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Thank you all for standing in honor the reading of God's Word. We're still talking about the resurrection, and I think it's great that we get to do that. This is a long chapter, and we're just going to try to get everything out of it. When we look at these Bible studies, I don't necessarily try to bring something that you have never heard before. I just try to preach the Word. And so, man, if you've heard this two dozen, 3 dozen times in your life, just count it a privilege you get to hear God's Word. Amen? Because there are Christians around the world, they don't even have a Bible tonight. You got a Bible in front of you and somebody to preach it to you. So blessed people. So the apostle, what's been going on here, the apostle has reminded the Corinthians that they already believe, they already believe in Christ's resurrection, chapter 15, verses 1 through 11, and that logically based on that truth, they must also believe in their own resurrection and that of all the saints. And that's where they were really struggling at, remember? And so then Paul then gives, and we covered these last Sunday night, Paul then gives seven disastrous, and not only disastrous, but absurd consequences that would result if they, the Corinthians, or the saints, were not raised. That was 1 Corinthians 15, 12 through 19. As we move on into this next pericope, or paragraph of Scripture, beginning in verse 20, we're going to take 20, 21, and 22 tonight, Paul discusses the aspects of the resurrection of the righteous. So that's what we're looking at tonight. And just simply two points I want to share with you tonight, two main points. The first one is this. We have a resurrection. And I mentioned this a little bit on Wednesday night, but we have a resurrection because God gave His best. Amen? Whenever you see that phrase, first fruits, whenever you see that thing that talks about an offering, whenever you see that thing, it's worship, man. I mean, first fruits. It calls Jesus first fruits. I mean, God is given His utmost, His best. Amen? But now Christ is risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. I mean, it's just amazing. We have a resurrection because God gave His best. The words "and become." You've got a King James Version, as I do. "And become" in the KJV and some other translations, "and become," do not come first in the original text when you look at this in the Greek New Testament. And these two words can be misleading. Don't let them trip you up. Christ did not become the first fruits at some time after His resurrection, but at the moment of His resurrection, by the very fact of His resurrection, He is the first fruits. Amen? Jesus being raised made Him the first fruits of all who would be raised. See, before the Israelites, what is first fruits? Before the Israelites harvested their crops, they were to bring a representative sample. Well, did they just go out into the fields? Did they just go to the flocks? Did they just go and get any portion? Oh, no, friend. It's first fruits. We're going to find the best of the best that's beginning to bud, that's beginning to shoot, that's beginning to bloom, that's beginning to fruit. That's what we're going to get, the very best. And we're going to take it to first fruits, right? They would get this sample called the first fruits, and they would lay it at the priest, give it to the priest as an offering to the Lord. We read of that in Leviticus chapter 23, verse 10. The full harvest could not be made until the first fruits were offered. Couldn't make it. Had to do the first things first. Amen? The first fruits. The first and best, Jesus Christ, was the first fruits of the resurrection harvest of the believing dead. A lot of time's gone by, though, hasn't it? Yeah. But the harvest is still coming. In His death and resurrection, Christ made an offering of Himself to the Father on our behalf. And as an offering, Jesus was first and, what do we say? Best. First and best, because God only gives us His best. Friend, you need to, if you don't get anything tonight, you need to come away with that you serve. You have a Father in heaven that has created you. He loves you. Not only does He love you, He gives you His very best. He gives you His very best. What does that say about you? What does that say about His love for you? That says tremendous amount. Amen? It says a tremendous amount. The first and the best. What are the implications of Jesus' first fruits resurrection? Number one, as first fruits, Jesus is the first installment of the harvest. Number two, Christ's resurrection cannot be in isolation to the believing dead's resurrection. There's going to be a resurrection of the believing dead one day. Amen? It's coming. I mean, it's in the calendar in heaven. God knows. We don't know, but it's coming. And number three, when you think about first fruits, when Paul calls it first fruits, when the inspiration of the Holy Spirit moves him to write first fruits, Jesus' resurrection requires our resurrection, the redeemed. It requires it. Those two things go hand in hand. The implication of the first fruits of Jesus Christ, but also the resurrection that Paul speaks here is a permanent resurrection. Isn't that good news? A permanent resurrection. If we look in the Old Testament, if we study the New Testament, it tells of persons who have died. It tells of persons who have died and were miraculously brought. They were brought back to life. I mean, it's just miraculous stuff. Miracles that we find in God's Word. 1 Kings chapter 17 at verse 22 reads this, "And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived." That's 1 Kings 17, 22. 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 34 through 36 reads this, "And he went up and lay upon the child, and put his mouth upon his mouth, and his eyes upon his eyes, and his hands upon his hands. And he stretched himself upon the child, and the flesh of the child waxed warm. Then he returned and walked in the house to and fro, and went up and stretched himself upon him, and the child sneezed seven times. And the child opened his eyes. And he called Gehazi, and said, Call the Shunammite. So he called her. And when she was come in unto him, he said, Take up thy son." Amen? And then 2 Kings chapter 13, verse 21, "And it came to pass, as they were burying a man, that behold, they spied a band of men. And they cast the man into the sepulchre of Elisha. And when the man was let down and touched the bones of Elisha, he revived and stood up on his feet." Yeah. Luke chapter 7, verse 15 says, "And he that was dead sat up and began to speak, and he delivered him to his mother." John chapter 11, verse 44 says, "And he that was dead came forth bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, Loose him and let him go." He's not dead anymore. Why you got him in grave clothes, man? Get those off of him. What miraculous happenings. What incredible true events. Amen? What incredible. But each one of these that we just read about died a second time. They died a second time. Even those whom Jesus raised, the son of the widow of Nain, Jairus' daughter, and Lazarus, all eventually died again. Jesus Christ Himself, Jesus Christ alone, was the first to be raised, never to die again. Amen? We have a resurrection because what? Because God gave His best. But number two tonight, as we think this through, we have been redeemed for this resurrection by Jesus' humanness. You say, humanness? Wait a minute, I thought Jesus was God. He is. He's also called Son of Man. Son of God, Son of Man. Both and, not either or. Notice what the passage says here in verse 21, 22. "For since by man came death," notice what it says here in my Bible, it says, "by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive." Hallelujah, praise the Lord. Now you really believe that? I really believe that, right? Really believe that. What's the point of this man thing? Man, he's a perfect man. Unlike the rest of us, he's perfect. So it's without sin. See, you can do that. You can be that if you're perfect without sin. You can redeem, right? If you don't have the curse of sin on you, you can. Man, he's beat sin. He's conquered it. He never sinned. As we look at this, we've been redeemed for this resurrection by Jesus' humanness. Just as Adam was the progenitor of everyone who dies, so Christ is the progenitor of everyone who will be raised to life. If you look at these two little verses here that we just read, in each case, one man doing one act caused the consequences of that act to be applied to every other person identified with him. In other words, those who identified with Adam, every person who has been born is subject to death because of Adam's sinful act. Wow. Man. Amazing, isn't it? Amazing. Sin. Well, once it comes in, it corrupts, doesn't it? I mean, once it comes in the human race, it just corrupts. Those, on the other hand, who are identified with Christ, every person who's been born again, amen, not a Baptist word, but a Bible word, born again, identified with Christ, every person who's been born again in Him is subject to resurrection, to eternal life because of Christ's righteous act. In Adam, all have inherited what? All have inherited sin, the sin nature, and therefore will die. In Christ, all who believe in Him have inherited eternal life and shall be made alive in body as well as spirit. The key word is pistos. In the Greek, it means believe. It means faith. Got to have the right belief and the right faith. Amen. Not a religious belief or faith, but a trusting belief or faith. A trusting. This is so hard to explain to folks, this trusting, dependent belief. It's just difficult to put in words, but you know when you've done it, and you know if you need to do it. You know if you've done it, and if you're sitting on the other side and you haven't done it, you know it. You know you've not trusted Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Yes, you believe in Jesus. Yes, there's some facts about Christ you believe, but the penny's not dropped. I mean, you've not crossed the T. You've not dotted the I. You've not come full circle, so to speak. It's a trust beyond. It transcends. It's a faith. It's not an easy believism. We believe it with everything within us. Amen? That Jesus is our personal Lord and Savior. Those who are identified with Christ, every person who's been born again in Him is subject to resurrection to eternal life because of Christ's righteous act. In Christ, all who believe have this tremendous belief, have this submissive belief, have this surrendered belief, have this trusting belief, have this all-consuming belief in Him, have inherited eternal life and shall be made alive in body as well as spirit. Amen? You take the person who just has had a religious experience. It's just a religious experience they've had. They've just gotten wet in a baptistry. But it's not happened, and they know it's not happened. That's belief in vain. That's vain belief. Make sense? We got to have a heart change, church. Amen? Romans 5:19 says, "For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous." Praise God for His obedience tonight. Amen? And as we look at this here, one thing I want you to look at, one thing I want you to key on, and I want you to think about this. I don't want you to get tripped up here. We don't have a discrepancy in God's Word. It says, "For as in Adam, all die." You see that all there? Universally, all are going to die, except for those that are raptured when Jesus gets His church. "For as in Adam, all die. Even so in Christ," notice it says, "shall all be made alive." The key before the all is in Christ. Got to be in Christ. The Bible's not trying to teach some kind of weird universalism, right? It is in Christ. If you want to be part of the all, you got to be in Christ. Amen? Because the Bible says in John 8:44, talking about us before we're saved, ye are of your father the devil, talking about us as we are lost. And the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And before Christ, when we're in our sins, who are we? We're like that. We're not like Christ. We're not like Christ. Galatians 3:26, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Notice the change. By faith in Christ Jesus. Galatians 3:29, and if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Amen? If ye be Christ, in Christ, makes you part of the all. Amen? Galatians 4:7, wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. We'll be part of the all, got to be in the Christ. Amen? Ephesians 3:6, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of His promise in Christ by the gospel. That in Christ just comes in handy. It's important. You got to have it. Acts chapter 20, verse 32, and now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. I commend you to God. Amen? Amen. And to the word of His grace. Titus chapter 3, verse 7, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. That's good stuff. Amen? See, an Adam is simply to be human, to have been born once. In Christ is to have eternal life, to be what? Born again. By natural descent from Adam, having inherited his sin, all die. By supernatural descent from Christ, having inherited his righteousness, all shall be made alive. Praise God and amen. Though the inheritance in both cases is bodily as well as spiritual, Paul's major emphasis here is on the body. It's on the body. Through Adam's sin, man died spiritually and became subject to death bodily. Likewise, through Christ, believers are given life spiritually and will be raised bodily. Amen? But our spirits, because they go to be with the Lord at death, will not wait to be resurrected. Isn't that cool? Man, in Christ, we're already with Him when we die. Absent from the body is, praise the Lord, only our bodies will be resurrected. And that is the truth stressed here. I wonder if our spirit one day will say to our body, what took you so long? Right? I mean, I've been waiting on you a while. As from the body present with Christ, I'm glad you finally got to the party. Right? God saves us all, church. Man, I am. If I'm tired of anything, I'm tired of the mysticism that just says the erroneous things that bounce around out there. That just say, you know, God's concerned only about this when it comes to you. You know, God's concerned about everything when it comes to you. He's concerned about your body. He's concerned about your soul. He's concerned about your spirit. Amen? And all of you one day will be in His presence. Amen? Brother Holly knows that truth today. Amen? Brother Holly knows that truth. He knows what's coming for him. He's in the presence of Christ, and his body waits to be resurrected one day. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight. We thank you, Lord, that we can get through three of these verses this evening. Lord, we pray that as we go into our prayer time, you would give us wisdom, discernment, direction. Give us the words to pray as we intercede on behalf of others. And Lord, may we minister. May we minister tonight to those that so desperately need it. It's in your name we pray. Amen. All right. Prayer request. Yes, ma'am.